Someone sent me an email the other night with a link to a shiur given by Rabbi Yisrael Reisman Shlita on the topic of Tcheles, and Rabbi Reisman gave an hour-long shiur presentation on why he believes that the Murex trunculus is not the Chilazon, and that the Tcheles that Rav Schechter wears, that I wear, that many other people wear, is not the Tcheles, and that Rabbi Reisman doesn't think there's even a 10% chance or a 2% chance that it's the Tcheles. He thinks there's a 0% chance that it is the Tcheles. So I wanted to give this year a sort of a response to that year. I just want to go through point by point of Rabbi Reisman's rayas and just show what the response might be to the rayas. But a couple of introductory remarks. First of all, the way Rabbi Reisman spoke is a good Musar Shmuz. He did not say it's these Modernisha guys in Efrat that are doing this. It's he was not attacking anyone's. He wasn't trying to discredit people. It was Mamish Talmidei Chacham Mar Mishalom Ba'olam. He was having a Melchamta Shel Torah the way a Melchamta Shel Torah is supposed to be. Of course, it's no surprise to anyone who knows Rabbi Reisman or anyone who knows that he's a Talmud of Rav Pam. It's it's completely Darchei Noam, completely in a very very sweet way about him, and there was no anger. It's just purely Melchamta Shel Torah. So that's Aleph. Beis, you should realize, even though this whole shiur is dedicated to addressing Tainas that Rabbi Reisman presented, I am not an equal with Rabbi Reisman. I am not even close to an equal with Rabbi Reisman. But, it's a machlokas of Shechel Rabbi Reisman, so you have to learn it, just like you would learn a machlokas of Riki Vega and the Chassam Sofer. You have to judge each side based on its merits. You shouldn't assume that I'm trying to suggest that I'm an equal by giving this shiur. Third thing, by way of introduction, is Rabbi Reisman mentions that one of the rayas that they mention, that the Tcheles people mention, is that on the light spectrum, the color that they get, that they have with the Murex trunculus Tcheles, is I don't even know what the words mean, but on the light spectrum is 613. So they say, oh, you see, it's a gematria of Tayyar Mitzvahs, it works out. And Rabbi Reisman said, he goes through a whole thing about how that doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense in terms of what the light spectrum really is. But I don't think anyone ever thought that that's a raya, that it's that's the Tcheles. I think that was just something that was added in as like a nice little, like gematrias in general are used. That's the way that gematria was used. And plus, Dr. Sturman, who is one of the major people involved in the Tcheles, has his PhD in molecular and atomic absorption and emission spectra. So probably he knows what he's talking about when he says, again, I don't know, I don't even know what any of the words mean. I don't even know what the words mean that what he has his PhD in, but probably it's not coming out of nowhere. The very concept, Rabbi Reisman starts this year by saying that he's not interested in any archaeology and linguistics. That's not koveya the halacha. So I would argue, and Dr. Sturman sent this to me in an email, a lot of what I'm saying is from Dr. Sturman, who became somewhat of a pen pal of mine, but I would argue that it is true. Linguistics and archaeology aren't koveya halacha, but they are certainly koveya metzius. They certainly help us understand the metzius. And the metzius is, based on archaeology and linguistics, that in the times of the Bayesheni, they were using this snail to dye things sky blue, and that color has not faded in 2,000 years. And the primary quality that Tcheles has is that it doesn't fade. So 2,000 years is pretty good. So they were using this snail to dye sky blue in the times of the Bayesheni. That's the Metzius. Now let's go through the Tainas one by one. This may be a little longer than 10 minutes. Number one, there is a Gemara in Shabbos Tavayin Dalet where we showed him talk about using nets to catch the chilazon, and these are snails. You don't need nets to catch them. You put a box down in the floor of the ocean and with bait in it, and the snails sort of crawl their way in, and then you just pick up the box. You don't need nets. So Reisman said, you see clearly that it's not a snail because you wouldn't use a net. So the same reason that they use baskets, though one katina, would be why they would use nets, meaning you'd put nets at the bottom of the ocean. It's not so crazy to say that they would use nets, that you would put the nets at the bottom of the ocean, and then the snails would go in there, and you'd pick up the nets, and all the sand would fall through the holes, and you'd catch the snails inside the nets. Not only that, Rabbi Reisman points out that that they quoted, I think, in the Torah Madre Journal article about Tcheles, from Aristotle and Pliny? I don't know. I'm such an Amaret. But that says that they used nets to catch murex snails a long time ago. And he says, and Aristotle doesn't say it. In the other book, it does say it. In Book 9, Chapter 60, it does say that they used large meshes. So there is some sort of evidence that they used nets to catch these kinds of snails. Second raya he had is that the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Ayin Hey, this is probably the strongest raya, had sad chilazon chayiv mishum seida, that if someone traps a chilazon, you're chayiv mishum seida. And Rabbi Reisman pointed out, the aleph beis of the malach of tzad, the malach of trapping, is that something that is nitzod va'omed, that it's already trapped, that you can get in one lunge, that you don't need to chase after it. There's no chiyuv of tzeda for trapping something that's already enclosed in a small area that you can already capture with one lunge. A snail doesn't take much tzeda. It can barely move. It moves very slowly. It's as slow as a snail. So it's not something that should be subject to the malach of tzeda. And yet sad chilazon is chayiv mishum tzeda. And truth is, we have other kashas like this. By Shmona Shratzim, it also says chayiv mishum tzeda. And some of the Shmona Shratzim we've identified as things that are very, very slow moving. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has a letter quoted in the back of Rabbi Ribi at Zlamatas Malachos book about this issue. He tries to change some of the identifications of some of the Shmona Shratzim because of this kasha. But the truth is, there's an article in Torah Mada Journal addressing this issue, where I think he lays out a pretty clear case to suggest that anything, according to Rashi and the Rambam, at least in the way it seems to be Paschal in Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Taf Tzadi Zayin, that anything that you would normally use a trap in order to get is Chayiv Mishum Tzeda. People always use traps to get the Murex truncula snail. Because it hides under the sand, and it could be that when the Mishnah Maseches Beitza talks about trapping a fish, that it's not chayiv mishum tzeda if it's in a small enclosure where all you got to do is grab it. That's because there's nowhere for the fish to hide. When we talk about a snail that burrows underground, where you need to put in significant effort to catch it, even though once it's in front of you, obviously you can grab it easily, but otherwise you need to put in significant effort. So it is very likely that you are chayiv mishum tzeda on something like that. His third raya is that the Gemara in Sanhedrin of Tzadi Aleph says that the chilazon comes up in a mountain after it rains. It comes up on a mountaintop, and the murex trunculus, if it spends a couple of hours outside of water, would die. It would never make it up a mountain. So the Yad Ramah on that, Rabbi Reisman himself admits that that's not the greatest raya, because the Yad Ramah right there in the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that that's talking about a different type of chilazon. If anything, that Yad Ramah is a raya that chilazon doesn't only mean one type of snail. The word chilazon might mean multiple types of snails. It might be a description of the snail family, or fish family, if you want to say like that, if you want to say that it's a fish. The fourth raya is Gemara Menachos Daf Mem Dalid, where it says its creation is like a fish. Briyaso doma ledag. So Rabbi Reisman himself is moded that that's not really a raya, because that whole Gemara is not got it to Gemara. It says it's ola achas l'shivim shana. That obviously is not to be taken literally. The whole Gemara is not got it to Gemara. It doesn't think it's midrashic. It doesn't sound like it's something that would be taken literally la halacha. His fifth raya is Gemara Bamitziyad of Samech Aleph, where it says that Hashem is going to punish those people who pretend that kla ilan is tcheles, that the plant dye is really tcheles, and the tcheles people have shown that the molecular structure of tcheles of the murex trunculus dye is exactly the same as the molecular structure of kla ilan, what the Gemara calls kla ilan, which is plant indigo. So if it's chemically identical, Rabbi Reisman says, why would anybody use the chilazon? Apparently, the chilazon was used by kings in ancient times. Why would you use the chilazon if you can get a cheaper version straight from plants? So why would they be things that are confused for each other? Why would anyone ever want to use the chilazon? So the Pashat answer is that maybe they didn't know in those times that it was molecular, you know, they were identical, the molecular structure was identical, and they were under the impression that this was more authentic. They had it for longer. The plant indigo didn't get to the Middle East until the times of the Mishnah. They had the snail for longer. They thought that was the more authentic thing. They didn't know so much about chemistry. So maybe they thought that was the more authentic thing, even though it exactly matched up. If it's exactly identical, how does the Gemara have a way that of soaking it in certain things where plant indigo would come out and the chilazon wouldn't come out if it's the chemical molecular structure is exactly the same, so it should have the same reaction to whatever you put it in? So the Dr. Sturman suggested that no matter how long you leave it in sunlight, there are traces of I'm not going to even try to pronounce the word. There are traces of other things besides for indigo in there. It could be those traces of other things is what allows for it to be affected somewhat differently. Okay, his sixth raya was Gemara Menachos Daf Mem Beis, where it gives directions on how to make tcheles, and it never mentions that it needs to be exposed to sunlight, that the dye needs to be exposed to sunlight. This was a major problem. Rav Herzog already suggested that maybe the Murex trunculus was the right snail, was the right, was the chilazon, but he said it doesn't turn blue until they discovered that when you bring it out into the sunlight, it does turn blue. So, but it never mentions that in the Gemara, that you need to expose it to sunlight. So l'chora, that's not the greatest raya either, because the Gemara never actually gives all the details of how to make tchelos. It says, you put samimanim in it. What does samimanim mean? I don't know, it could be anything. Samimanim could be pepper, it could be anything. So Gemara doesn't exactly go into detail of how to make the tchelos. It gives a couple of basic, very basic kinds of instructions. And even the instructions that it gives are things that you do. But being out in the sunlight, that's just where they made it. They made it on the beach. That's where they made it. They didn't bring it inside. It stinks. You don't want to bring it indoors. So they made it out in the sunlight. It wasn't part of the process of what you have to do. It's just that's how it makes it blue. His, I don't know what number, about seventh raya, the Rambam Hilchos Perek Beis Halacha Aleph, says that the secretion is black originally. That's why we have black stripes on our talus, as a zecher l'tcheles. So, and the Murex doesn't release anything that's black. So, the Ritzina Rebbe already asked this kasha, and the Ritzina Rebbe said that the Rambam must have had his own fish that he thought was the chilazon, because it doesn't say anywhere in Chazal that the secretion is black. The Rambam made that up. So how did he make it up? From thin air? The Rambam must have had something that he thought was the chilazon. Not only that, the Rambam is very difficult anyway. The Rambam refers to finding it in the Yam HaMelech. Nothing lives in the Yam HaMelech except for some rare microbes. There's nothing there. So it's very difficult to understand what the Rambam's even talking about. So it's very hard to use the Rambam as a raya that the secretion is black. It doesn't say that in the Gemara anywhere. It doesn't say that in the Medrash anywhere. It doesn't say that anywhere that it's black. His whatever number we're up to, eighth raya, is the Gemara Megillah Davav. The Gemara Megillah Davav says that we're going to need Zvulun to get the Chilazon for us. Zvulun is going to be the one in charge of getting the Chilazon. So says Rabbi Reisman, I don't understand. In order to get the Chilazon, it's just a few feet offshore that you need to go and grab the Chilazon. And if you learn Sefer Yoshua, Rabbi Reisman gives a very famous Navi Shir. So he says, if you learn Sefer Yoshua, Zvulun's portion, Eretz Yisrael, is actually not on the shore. They happen to have been the sailors, but they didn't own the beach. So why would you need Zvulun to get the Tcheles? So the answer is Pashat, I think, that anywhere that they use Murex trunculus or any sort of Murex snails for dyeing, it's always gotten by sailors. People always go in boats to get it, because you can get small amounts right by the shore if you have scuba gear, which they probably didn't have back in the day, but large amounts you need to put in traps much further out. And that, you need a boat. You need to go out on a boat. So it makes sense that Zvulun, the guys who had the boats, they were the ones that went and caught the tcheles. He also has a discussion, there's machlok shishonim, whether it's a fish or a snail. So he says, how can we be so sure that it's a snail? Okay, how can we be so sure it's not a snail? All right, that doesn't bother me so much. Dr. Sturman has a whole article where he tries to prove that snails are halachically fish anyway. They halachically have the status of fish. Okay, we don't have to get into that. And also, he says, Rav Moshe, the tshuva, in Igros Moshe, Yardei Chel Beisim, Kuflam Gimel, says that it comes out black and uses that to explain why we need samimanim to make it blue. So the Rav Moshe is assuming like the Rambam. But the teretz is, Rav Moshe is just saying pshat in the Rambam. Rav Moshe is not identifying chilazon for us. So that's not really the biggest kasha. And then he says also, how could you paskin on a number of strings? On there are three shittas in Rishonim, how many strings are supposed to be tcheles? How could you paskin on such a shaila? So I asked Rav Shechter that this past Shabbos, and he said, what do you mean? We don't have to paskin. The Mishnah Berurah paskins it twice. There are halachos that relate to how many strings used to be of tcheles, like halachos of gardumim, of how many strings can be cut, halachos of shatnis, that relate to how many strings. And the Mishnah Berurah says, as a davar pashut, in two different places, that there were two strings of tcheles and two strings of lavan, that it was half tcheles, half lavan, so it's not so hard to paskin. It's beferish in the Mishnah Berurah. There are many Gemaras that are proofs for. We discussed that in the past. I don't want to spend time doing that now. There are many Gemaras that sound like it is the Murex trunculus. So just a couple of final remarks. First of all, Rabbi Reisman thinks that absent a 100% proof from a Gemara, you can't make a halacha. You can't say that this is the chilazon. I think that's really the fundamental point of dispute. I think Rav Shechter would say, that that's not necessarily the case. That you don't need 100% raya from a Gemara that this must be it, because the Gemara is not going to draw a picture and show you it. The Gemara, but you have to try to use the descriptions of the Gemara to see what we can come up with. And if you, and that's what the Rezina Rebbe's whole first Sefer was about. If we can come up with something that seems to basically fit, we don't need a 100% proof from a Gemara. So that's the Rezina Rebbe goes to great lengths to prove that point. Furthermore, the Rabbi Reisman in his shir, at the end of the shir, says that you know, wearing tcheles in certain circles is like wearing a black hat in the yeshivish world. It's like a certain social thing. I think that comparison is a little bit inappropriate. Nobody holds as a mitzvah d'oraisa to wear a black hat, I don't think. The comparison, I think, trivializes the kavanas of those who wear the tcheles. They're wearing because they're trying to be mekayim a mitzvah d'oraisa, not because they're trying to fit into any social group. I know, you know, for most of us who wear tcheles, if anything, it makes you more of a social outcast rather than fit you into any sort of social group. Reisman talks about miyut she'eno matzoi, that there's a less than 10% chance, and halacha is, you know, choshish for miyut she'eno matzoi. I didn't even understand how miyut she'eno matzoi applies. Miyut she'eno matzoi is an observable phenomenon. Like when you have incidents of trefos that are less than 10%, so you don't have to check for those trefos. But he's saying that if there's a gemara that doesn't sound like it, there's only a 10% chance that gemara is referring to murex, and there's a 5% chance that gemara is, like, you can't just attach arbitrary numbers to things and say that it's a miyut she'eno matzoi. I don't understand where he's coming from. That surprised me a little bit. I don't know what he's talking about. Besides for that, the Rezina Rebbe and Rav Herzog both prove or suggest that any creature that could produce a dye that's the same as indigo and is lasting will be the chilazon and can be tcheles. Meaning they both suggest that you don't need a single positive identification of the chilazon to make tcheles, because anything that can do it is by definition tcheles. So that's those were the gedolim who in the last 150 years learned about the issue of tcheles more than anybody else. Rezina Rebbe and Rav Herzog. Rav Herzog's PhD thesis was on it. And finally, Rabbi Cohn just pointed out, with all that we know, it seems that there is enough evidence to at least tell us that if it is the right tcheles, good, that's great, we're doing mitzvah d'oraisa. If it's not, there's no loss. It's colored tzitzis if it's not tcheles. So you're losing nothing. And therefore, it's everything to gain, nothing to lose. Now, if you're not using it, so Shachter points out that it's a serious chashash of baltigra, you have the ability to do a mitzvah min a mufkar and you choose not to do it, so that could be a legitimate chashash of baltigra. So anyway, I think that at the end of the day, again, Rabbi Reisman is a gvaldik atam chacham and a big tzaddik. I just don't see how the Gemaras line up on his side. It seems that the Gemaras seem to line up, and most of the people that don't wear it will be moded that all the Gemaras line up on the other side, that line up to seem to support it. But it's not the Masorah, you know, they come with those kinds of arguments. But so I think at the end of the day, I think one who wants to wear tcheles is very well justified.